To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Sunrise guys are a little salty this week.
The game is over, man. Stop it. Pack it up and go home.
It's rivalry week.
I didn't watch a second of that game, and I'm probably not going to watch a second of any Oregon State football game the rest of the year.
This is a rivalry week edition of Dirt and Spray, brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. We call that the Fan Sports Network. Happy Turkey Eve, everybody. Happy best drinking day of the year to all of my folks out there, all my peeps. Have fun. All the youngs, enjoy the bars tonight. It's always a
glorious
night.
Dude, I could choke down six of those easily.
Wake up tomorrow hungover, a little hair of the dog potentially, and you go eat some hungover food. It's just nothing better, man. It's a great two-day stretch for the youngs with no responsibilities. I miss those days.
Do you at least, I know you got Teddy ball game and you're not getting blacked out, but like, do you at least tonight, do you still drink a couple pops?
I'll have something tonight.
Get a little buzzy and then...
Post maybe 7:30 bedtime, you know, kind of get the routine done, and then, yeah, we'll have a little fun tonight. Oh, and then go to bed at 9:30. Get a little too jamming all in 2 hours. All right, let's go to bed. I'm ready to go to bed. I'm tired, man. It's been a long week. We got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. In 1 hour from now, we will get to the Magic Hat, and we'll explain that if you're new to the program. And we are going to spread the line on a Wednesday because this is our last show of the week. I also I need to go back on the fan text line. We were talking pizza last Friday. You know what dawned on me yesterday? So we were having a conversation about pizza and Pizza Friday.
Papa Murphy's.
And we had a bro from Papa Murphy's reach out and was like, hey, can I bring you guys in pizzas next week? And we immediately were like, hell yeah, that sounds great. We're not going to be here on Friday.
Oh, did they volunteer to do Friday?
They said, can I bring pizza in next Friday? And I responded, I was like, we'd love pizza next Friday.
That sounds great.
Did not connect in my brain at all that we're not going to be here. So I got to find, if you're listening right now, Papa Murphy's bro,
can you text?
Please text in and don't bring pizza because we're not going to be here. There will not be anybody here
on Friday. We'll be here next Friday.
Next Friday we'll be here and we will eat your pizza. You bring your pizza and we will eat your pizza. But this Friday, we won't be here. So we got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. Let's get to, we have not talked about it yet. Did we watch the college football playoff ranking release last night?
I hate admitting this to you.
You actually watched it?
Haven't watched one single show reveal this season, and I don't plan to. I just don't get anything from it.
No.
All I need to know as a show host is what the ranking is.
Give me the numbers, and then I'm good to go.
And I'll have my own thoughts. Now, we get cuts in the systems that say this is why this team's this place. And most of the time, they don't make any sense.
No.
And so we end up calling it out anyway and saying, I don't agree with it. So, yeah, I don't really watch a lot of college basketball, especially now that my team blows chunks.
God. Yeah, we're both on rough stretches right now. We can't win a game. You guys lost four in a row. You guys can't beat UMass.
We're losing to Evansville.
Is Marcus Camby there?
Iona beat us.
That's not good.
So, like, I don't watch a lot of college hoops, so I'm not watching that show, and I also don't care. We only had one good thing happen from yesterday. Well, we had two. The first is... I need this. Like, I need oxygen. I need Mario Cristobal coming out in Autzen Stadium in a Miami polo.
I get that that's a really fun thing to say. It is honestly getting to the point where I'm, like, yelling at my screen, whatever screen I'm looking at, when we put these brackets out. That's not the bracket. Miami's not going to win the ACC.
I'm just telling you what the latest bracket is.
I mean, I get it, but like, can we all put our thinking hats on for
no,
a moment and say
to.
That the spot goes to the conference champion?
6-11. It's right now. It's Miami, Oregon.
But Miami's not going to win. They need 87 things to happen.
And they might get those.
They might lose to Pitt on Saturday.
That also could happen.
I know.
Yeah, you're
totally right in terms of like, God, that would be so much fun to watch. But I'm getting really angry every time I see those put out because they're in fourth place in the comp. They're not winning the ACC.
See, here's the good news. This is why I don't watch the show. I just get to react to a bracket. And the second
thing. Well, they're the highest ranked ACC team, so that's why they're in there. But we're not even computing the conference standings into the potential brackets, which is really dumb.
Look, I am.
But I digress.
Maybe they get the 87 things to break their way.
They could. They could get in as an at-large if a bunch of teams lose, too. You could have two ACC teams in.
But Mario being in and having to go back to Austin Stadium and then probably getting his ass kicked because Miami cannot win a game on the road would be hilarious.
You want to play the fun hypothetical line on that game? I saw this yesterday. So they do every time these come out, they do these hypothetical. What would the line be on the
Oregon
game?
-5.5.
7.5.
I was gonna guess 7.
Yeah.
And a half,
north of a touchdown. I was surprised it was
north of a
touchdown.
Miami's so bad on the road.
Because what was the USC line? 9.5 last weekend?
9.5. And it got to 10, and then a guy got bet down again, and they covered that number. The second thing was what the Juracek guy said. And that's the funny thing about that show. I don't care about the show. It's what he said. And the impact, hopefully, it has on our society.
So we're hoping a trend came to an end last night. I also think, look, maybe I'm going way over my skis here. This might be the beginning of the end of the college football playoff. This is we can talk about how dumb it is, and I'm not going to watch the show because I get nothing out of it. And you're 100% correct in that take. What they're putting together, though, matters greatly. You were talking about the difference of millions of dollars for schools. Let alone if you get to host a college football playoff game, what does that do for your economy and the revenue? Like, there is so much at stake here. The first question, so for those who didn't see the rankings, they come out last night. The only really noteworthy thing was that Oregon jumped Ole Miss. Oregon is now the sixth-ranked team in the college football playoff after beating USC last weekend. Ole Miss did not play. Outside of that, in the top 13, there was nothing else that swapped other than Miami jumped Utah. Those were the only changes, really, in the top 15 of the rankings. Miami jumping Utah with their dominant win over Virginia Tech, and Oregon jumping Ole Miss. That was it. So they started. Here's the question and answer. This is Hunter Juracek, who is the athletic director at Utah, I believe. Is that correct? Utah? Yeah? Final answer? Sure. And he asked him, hey, Oregon jumps Ole Miss. How much of that had to do with Lane Kiffin and all this stuff? And listen to his answer.
That is part of the criteria, though. If that were to occur, then that can be part of the consideration in evaluating Ole Miss, right?
It is in the protocol, but I'm not sure we will have a data point to use that as part of the protocol.
What do you mean by that? That you won't have a data, meaning that you don't know what's going to happen with the coaching situation, or you will not have seen the team play without the coach?
We'll get there. Hold on.
Correct.
Which is correct? The latter?
We will not have seen the team play we would not have seen the team play without a coach.
That's if Kiffin leaves.
That's if Kiffin leaves. I forgot we had 200 year check.
When I love that they're pretending as if that's not going to impact them. They literally did this to Florida State.
Yeah,
so,
without a quarterback.
Yeah, it's going to impact it.
He's from Arkansas, too. My apologies. I thought he was. They added the Utah guy on once the Baylor guy got in his problems. Here is the line that might end a trend and the College Football Playoff Committee.
We're joined by the chair of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, Hunter Juracek. Hunter, not a lot of changes. You had to go all the way down to number 15 last week to find a team that lost when SC lost to Oregon. But there was a change at 6-7 with Oregon and Ole Miss swapping spots. How much of an impact potentially could it be on Ole Miss if it's determined they don't have their head coach in the field?
6-7. But seriously, Rich, we didn't have any discussion about Ole Miss and their coach.
Call them Rich.
That was all about Oregon
Rich.
And their performance against
no,
USC.
No, but Rich.
Their strength of schedule continues to climb. They've been dominant
he wanted
on
the joke. He wasn't ready to answer
the
question.
Ball,
no.
Really good in special teams. And the committee had been waiting for them to have a signature win to really put them where we thought they deserved to be.
I mean, look.
He really just wanted to do the 6-7
thing.
It's
all he wanted to do.
Blanked out. I was like, thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Rich. That's not my name. Look, Oregon should be ranked ahead of Ole Miss. You can call me bias all you want. Don't almost lose at home to Washington State. No offense to the Cougs, but, like,
sure.
Come on, dude. Like, get out of here. They played the Citadel 2 weeks ago. They damn near lost to Florida at home, who's a dumpster fire. So spare me the pearl clutching by SEC teams.
Right.
Oregon's better metrics and ratings in almost every category over Ole Miss. They deserve to be ranked higher. That's not the point. The point is you had the current college football playoff chair make a 6-7 joke on ESPN to a deadpan panel and then go into an answer that didn't really provide any context.
Because he wasn't ready to answer it. I legitimately believe he just wanted to do the 6-7 thing. And I really do mean this. I hope it ends it. I'm not mad at kids for jumping on a trend. We all did some kind of version of this as a kid.
Okay!
You still do WhatsApp. And I can't believe that's still a thing for you, but it's a thing.
Still real to me, damn it!
But usually when old people start dabbling into the popular terms, it's what ends it. So doing 6-7 awkwardly and then calling the host, who's Reese, Rich, I hope it deads it. I hope that's it.
I also hope it kills the College Football Playoff Committee because this entire thing is dumb. They're not watching games. They're athletic directors. They all have other jobs. This idea that this is the group of people that is allowed to answer the question, who gets to go compete for a title. Like,
you're not wrong there.
We're on the brink of, there wasn't really a lot of chaos last year. At the end of the year, the only debate, if I remember correctly, was SMU had lost the ACC title game. Do we put, so Clemson got the automatic bid. Is it an SMU or is it a 9-3 Bama, South Carolina, Ole Miss? And you had those chunk of three loss SEC teams. And I maintain the stance, and I will do it again this year for whoever plays in conference titles. Like, they're not going to punish you for losing an extra game. You get the reward of going to play in that game, and you shouldn't get the punishment of losing that game. And I think that stance will stay. So they're really, I wasn't surprised. There wasn't a lot of debate. We kind of knew who the teams were going to be going in. Like, you play out a scenario here, man. Ole Miss, let's say Ole Miss loses the Egg Bowl. Let's say Oregon loses to Washington. And then you have just a huge chunk of 10-2 teams of Oregon, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Alabama, Miami. Let's say Vanderbilt beats Tennessee. They're a two-loss team. Let's say Michigan beats Ohio State. They're a two-loss team.
I think Michigan's in if they win.
Right? So who gets bumped out in that scenario? Because you also might have an ACC team that's outside the top 10. So your ACC champ is likely going to be Virginia or SMU, who will not be ranked there.
No.
And your group of six teams. So then you're only getting the top 10 ranked teams in the country. And in this scenario, are you bumping out Notre Dame for Michigan? You bumping out Alabama if they win the Iron Bowl, they'd be in the SEC title game. You bumping out Oregon at 10-2, you bumping out Oklahoma at 10-2, Ole Miss at 10. Like, there's going to be a chunk of teams who get left on the side, which is good for debate. It's good for controversy. Well, I'm just reminded of this jackass saying 6-7 on ESPN is the head of the chair that's going to decide millions of dollars in budgeting and revenue that's going to go to different institutions because they're allowed to be the ones that pick who can play for a playoff.
Do you think them moving up to 6 secured them? If they lose.
I can't say fully secured. I thought it was a massive story last night that they moved up to number 6.
Because
it gives them a buffer to potentially lose. And if they are to win, it gives them a very favorable pathway of not only hosting a game, but then getting the more favorable of the first-round bye teams.
They win, they're hosting. I mean,
without a doubt.
It's that cut and dry.
They might have a shot at a top 4 spot at this point,
depending
on
how
things shake out.
Right, there's no doubt.
If they win.
Was Washington in the top 25?
Washington is not in the top 25.
Okay, so
Washington fan is
25.
Pissed again that they're not in the top 25. You know who is, though?
Oh, no.
Arizona.
Arizona?
Arizona. Are we paying attention to what Brett Brennan's doing? That's a ranked matchup now.
I have.
Just people made that joke because Jed Fish left Arizona. Now they're in the top 25
and Washington is not. Year two, after having a bad year one at Arizona.
Sure.
Good year for Brennan. Yeah, no, I think yesterday kind of told us they're going to host. And in the chance they lose, I still think they're going to get a benefit and get in. It's a TV show.
Yeah.
You're going to play the ratings games. Who's had the highest ratings on, like, three of the top highest rated CBS games?
CBS slate sucked, but yeah.
Look at the highest ratings. It's just you can
Oregon,
hate
Oregon,
Oregon all
Oregon,
you want.
Oregon
is almost always involved in the highest rated games in college football every year. It's a TV product, man. Yeah. So, no. Notre Dame's going to get in. Michigan's going to get in. Oregon's going to get in.
Hmm.
Who do you sort after that? The ACC is going to get the last.
Miami is out in that scenario.
Miami's out.
Would they bump Notre Dame out?
No, I think they keep Notre Dame in.
Okay. Because we're running out of spots. If all this chaos
they want Notre
plays
Dame.
Out.
I mean, it's, again,
you,
it's,
I know, you
it's
want
a
Notre
television
Dame in.
Show. You want Notre Dame in.
Yeah, I just think the idea of a committee chair, this stuff, we can, again, laugh at the, it's all going to settle itself, right? And maybe there's not a lot of drama. Maybe.
There hasn't been so far.
No, the one-loss teams win, and maybe, you know, let's say, you know, Vanderbilt loses, so they're out of contention, and Miami loses, so they're out of contention, and it all kind of settles itself. But if you are heading for controversy on Selection Sunday, which will be in a couple of weeks, or a week from Sunday, right after conference championship games, I think it's a really bad look. I hope it ends the trend because I think it's kind of a dumb thing, but it's also kids just being kids. But at the same time, like, this is massively important, dude. Ole Miss getting bumped down a spot is massive for that university and that community. How many millions of dollars would the Oxford community make if they are to host a college football playoff game? right? Like, that's a game changer for them, not to mention the revenue that you get from the TV part of it for making the playoff, and you come on screen with a 6-7 joke trying to make light of it. It's all a dumb system. It shouldn't exist in the first place, and I hope it ended a trend and the committee yesterday. Speaking of what Oregon has to play for, let's get to that game a little bit. They're going on the road to Seattle this weekend. Haven't had a lot of chatter on the game so far. Where's the confidence meter? Where's the nervous meter for Duck fan? Start diving into that matchup a little bit. Talk about it next on 105.1 FM, The Fam.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I know it's a little unique, but we will Sprague the Line on a Wednesday today. So that's coming up in an hour. Get your fake sponsors in, the fan text line, 503-864-6326. Wanted to read one quick thought here. And look, I'm always this. It's fun for me to debate this. I could talk about this stuff till I'm blue in the face, and I know sometimes you roll your eyes at me. Guys, I used to agree with Dirt that we need auto bids for conferences as a playoff format, but now I'm completely against it. The conferences are so big that seeding will be determined by weird tiebreakers, not on the field with many teams not even playing each other. The ACC and Big 12 doesn't deserve two auto bids. Look at those conferences. They suck. 12 auto bids would make things worse than a committee. Look at the ACC standings. It's a complete mess.
Well, take the ACC here, right? Because I know you probably have a thing to sound off on that, but take the ACC.
Yeah.
The committee has told us they hate the conference.
Miami is the best team in the ACC, according to the committee, and they are in fifth place in the ACC right now.
If the committee could not put Virginia or SMU...
They would do it in a heartbeat.
They wouldn't hesitate. So if you just did English Premier League style play this year, and whoever's at the top, and you sort out and let the committee pick, they'd choose Miami.
Yes.
Even if it ended exactly what the standings are today.
Yes, they would. If it just went to the highest ranked team from the conference got in, then Miami would be a lock to make the playoffs.
I think the only problem is I would imagine one argument you have against that, and many people would have against that, is like, okay, well, if you eliminate automatic bids for conference as conference qualifiers, then you're basically going to allow the committee to take in the top five and top 10 Big Ten SEC teams.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I would just say, look, I'm open for debate on it, and there might be unintended consequences that I don't see coming. I would say we're already there, though. Like, Virginia plays Virginia Tech this weekend. Do they win the game? I have no idea. Do they go on and win the ACC? I don't know. Virginia has not played essentially anybody with a pulse inside that conference. They have not played Miami. They did not play Pitt this year. They did not play Georgia Tech this year. They did not play SMU this year. Like, I'm just going up and down the ACC standings. The best team in the conference that they have played is 8-3 Wake Forest. And how did that game go? They lost the game. So, like, we're already there that Virginia, because of their bloated conference, is now going to potentially get a trip to the ACC title game, where it's one game. They might win the game. And if Virginia wins that game, guess what? they're in the college football playoff, and they were there largely because their conference schedule, similar to the Indiana scenario last year, was not a balanced schedule. They just didn't have to play anybody at the top of the conference. Look at Ole Miss this year in the SEC. Ole Miss right now is, if they win this weekend, they're locked to be in the playoff no matter what happens with Lane. If you take the top eight teams right now in the standings of the SEC, they're one of them, so then it's the next seven. You know how many of those teams Ole Miss has played this year? One. Actually, I take that back, two. They played Georgia and Oklahoma. They beat one of them, and they lost the other. They did not play A&M. They did not play Alabama. They did not play Texas. And they just go down the list. So,
but they
didn't play Vanderbilt. They didn't play Tennessee. Yeah.
But they were kind of, I mean, for a while, they're dominating Georgia.
Sure.
Georgia,
I mean, I'm not saying that Ole Miss doesn't deserve to get in. I'm just saying I think what you're complaining about is already in existence. I think A&M is a benefactor of this. That's going to be the reality of extra teams being in conferences, and it's dumb. The Pac-12 should come back. These Texas and Oklahoma should go back to the Big 12.
Like, I agree.
That's the perfect way to make this
undo
all work.
Undo what you've done.
In this current landscape, that's how the sport should look. But until that happens, I'm not going to complain about something that's already a problem. That would be a problem continuing in the new format, if that makes any sense. Oregon goes on the road to Washington this weekend.
Yeah, they do.
I was watching Pate's show last night. He does upset meters. He put it at a 7.5 out of 10.
Pretty high.
On an upset meter. It will be a 12:30 kick. I will be at Grand Central Bowl at 8 a.m.
What?
On Saturday morning. They do not open until we're off the air, so don't come hang out with us, but come after the show is over.
Tubbs
and
kept
watch
saying
football.
Nine.
They were trying to figure it out. They didn't have the they got word a little too late, right, of what time the kickoff was going to be. Where is your upset alert meter on Oregon in Seattle on Saturday?
I'll go lower than 7.5. Mm-hmm. I think this is at a solid 6 for me.
Okay.
It's right in the middle. It's a little above. I certainly give them a shot, but because of the health uncertainty, and I don't care what anybody has said this week, because I don't know where Coleman's at and Boston's at, if they go out there and Coleman's a beast again, Muhammad's good, but as you mentioned yesterday, Coleman's just better, and Boston's out there running crisp routes, all right, I'll give it, it's live, and I think Huskies' defense is a little underrated in a lot of ways.
Yeah, the numbers behind them aren't terrible.
But they allow too many negative plays to happen with tackles for loss, and so I think that's going to be a big advantage for the Duck pass rush and pressure they're going to apply. Betcher should be going in the road feeling amazing based on how he played. I don't expect Brandon Finney to have as bad a game as he had last weekend, even if Boston does play. And so because I think Oregon's going to be able to expose Washington on the ground a little bit with their rushing attack, Washington's got a shot. But I think ultimately Oregon wins this game, and I believe I had Oregon covering. So
yeah, you took him to cover earlier in the week.
I think Oregon is going to ultimately pull away in this one.
Swag, where's your upset alert meter at?
It's probably at a 5. Now, depending on the health of Washington, that could go up.
If Boston's not playing, that's going well.
The other part of it you got to keep in mind for Washington, too, is that they're down. Like, we're talking about Oregon's offensive line and who plays. They got one of their offensive linemen. They're trying to ease back into practice yesterday and today, but they're not sure if he's going to be able to play. And then another offensive lineman can only play if he has a cast on his hand. Which I don't know a lot about playing offensive line, but I imagine that's a little difficult to block somebody if one of your hands has a cast and you can't, you know, not that they don't hold every play, but they hold on every play and you can't get, you know, that's a difficult scenario to put in. So it seems like they're going to be down at minimum one starting offensive lineman, and the second one, they're waiting to see if he can go. So if Oregon's banged up there, Washington might be just as banged up.
They're just as banged up as, and they're not as deep as Oregon is. And hopefully Oregon gets one or two guys back. That have been close the last couple of weeks. I just think they're too complete across the board. It might look similar to USC, kind of back and forth early, and then Oregon gets the key stop, or they get a big special teams play, something along those lines, a turnover to flip it. They go up 2 scores, and then Washington can't just control trying to run the football. They've got to put it more in Damon Williams and. That's not one. If Oregon forces Washington to become one dimensional, that's not in the Huskies' favor.
I think you need a really good game out of Damon Williams. Like, this is a big showcase game for him. He has not been great in previous times against high quality opponents. His stat lines against Ohio State and Michigan have not been very good this year. It's not all his fault, and that connects to my second big point, and that is, if you want this upset meter to rise as the game goes on, you have to find a way to run the football in Oregon. You just do. You have to be balanced offensively. When you look at the two games, you know, the Wisconsin game, it's kind of whatever. It's bad weather. That was a horrible loss for them. The other two games that they lost, and they got kind of controlled, especially in the second half as the game went on. They were in the games at halftime, and then it got out of hand for them in the second half. The Michigan game and the Iowa State game. In the Michigan game, it was on the road, so not quite an apples to apples, but 23 carries as a team for 40 yards. That's 1.7 yard per carry. Now, some of that is sack yardage. Coleman in that game had 16 carries for 50 yards. Mm-hmm. But he didn't have a run longer than 8 yards. That's a 3 yard per carry average. The Ohio State game that they lost at home, and Ohio State's probably the best defense in the country this year, so I don't know if Oregon's quite to that level. They had 30 carries for 61 yards as a team. Now, again, part of that is sack yardage. Damon Williams in that game had negative 28 rushing yards because of the sack numbers. Coleman in the game had 13 carries for 70 yards. And you can see that's pretty damn good. It was one run of 35 yards that he got half of his yards on.
Right.
And then it was 12 carries for 35 yards outside of that, and they just couldn't do anything on the ground. And yeah. So I think Damon Williams, as he grows and develops, is going to be such a dangerous quarterback to face. I don't know if he's quite there yet. What he desperately needs is, one, again, these examples, he has to avoid the negative plays and the turnovers because he gets a wild hair up his nose. He did it last week early in the UCLA game where I was watching, and their offense got off to a rough start, and you're like, is there something here? Are they going to be bad on the road? They got a lead, and then he threw a pick, and then UCLA couldn't make him pay because UCLA's a dead team walking. Mm-hmm. But he can turn the ball over a little bit in the the Michigan game. I think he threw, three picks in that game, and you got to have balance offensively. If Washington can't run the football, I think their defense can, like, especially if Oregon's banged up and their offensive linemen aren't back and the receivers aren't back and it's a tough road environment, you tell me Oregon's only able to get to 24, I'm not surprised by that. But if Washington can't run the football, then I love Oregon's chances of slowing down that offense completely.
Yeah, I just, if this was next year's team, like there was that extra year for everybody and everybody was back. Like Coleman, I know, is gone, right? Boston seems like he's gone too.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be one of the best receiving prospects in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would give this a little higher. But because of where they're at year two, they've had a good year. I don't remember if I said 9-3 or 8-4 at the beginning. And then if I flipped it, I think I went to 8-4. So this is about where I thought they would end up being.
I got your answer for you right here.
Because I know we did flip it, stick it with our local teams. But I think I started 9-3 and I flipped to 8-4.
You started 9-3 and flipped to 8-4.
Okay. So yes, this is just one of those, like, it's not an impossibility. We certainly know college football is weird in rivalry games. I imagine that crowd is going to be as raucous as they have all year for any game, including Ohio State.
Weather's going to be great. Thanksgiving weekend.
But I just, Oregon's a different level right now. And Washington, I don't believe, is there yet. I think this is an uncomfortable, weird, close game. And then ultimately, I just think the horses are different and they pull away at the end.
A lot on the line, man. Oregon might be out of the college football playoff with a loss. Where you at on this one, Duck fans? The fan text line, 503-864-6326. We'll read some thoughts on the other side. Also, get your fake sponsors in. We're going to spring the line in an hour. The Magic Act coming up top of the hour. Some more NFL thoughts to come this hour. And one last look at rivalry week around college football is next. Well, we're all awaiting the smoke from Corvallis. Will the orange smoke come from the chimney announcing a new head coach? For your Beavers, we reportedly have another opening that has been filled. This is according to Trey Schaap. You probably never heard of him, neither have I, but he's got 18,000 followers on Twitter, and he's been covering Arkansas football since 1996.
Seems believable.
Pig Suey. And he is reporting that they have sent an offer to, and that offer has been accepted, to be the next head coach from Alex Golish, who is currently their head coach at South Florida. Their chances of making the college football playoff have diminished greatly in the last couple of weeks. And he is reporting that Alex Golish of South Florida, who was the talk early in the season, remember they beat Florida in Gainesville. They had another win in there. Boise State opening week of the season, and then yep. Miami kind of derailed things for him a little bit. But that he's going to be the next head coach at Arkansas.
Good hire.
Yeah.
I don't mind any of these programs. I know some SEC fans probably live in the, we should be expecting to go above this level. Like we heard about that with LSU and Summerall, right? But, and Florida was, this guy literally went into their building and beat them with a lesser talented team. And they're not going to hire him because they just tried this with Napier and it didn't go well.
Right.
And I find that a little odd. Like maybe they ultimately get the right person at Florida. But what if you interviewed this guy and he's the right person? If you operate out of the last one didn't work, so none of them can work in the future, I think you're destined to fail. Now, that being said, we don't know who's going to take the Florida job, so I'll be fair there. But this guy was in the backyard and they didn't want him. I love schools that are willing to say, yeah, he's coming from a lower division, but look what he's done.
Yeah.
He's a very bright guy. He did an interview want to say it was a week or two ago. I was randomly listening to, it was after Bama lost. So I was driving in. I wanted to listen to W Jocks over there in Birmingham, which is one of the highest rated shows in America.
Yeah, it's huge.
And they had him on. They were interviewing him, just a random interview. And he had one of the best answers about coaching mistakes out of quarterbacks that I've ever heard in my life. Like, can you actually do it, or is it just who somebody is?
Yeah, they're just mistake prone.
Dude, he gave like a 4-minute answer. I'm in my car. I'm like, God, that is amazing. Amazing insight on how a coach, somebody like that, would view it. And I know that's just one off example. He's had a great year. And so I like that Arkansas saying, you know what?
What the hell?
He worked for us. We've got good resources. I don't think the expectations for them are going to be right away, go win the SEC.
No.
They may get there eventually, but they go in there. He goes in there, and he's 6-plus wins this year, and it looks positive. He's going to look like a great coach.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. I think, the staple that you put on all these hires is, who the hell knows, man? It's like drafting quarterbacks. Sometimes there's an obvious, like, oh, I don't think that's going to work out for you, a la J.J. McCarthy, but then other times it's just nobody has any clue how that's going to work out, just like nobody talked about Kurt Cignetti when he was hired at James Madison.
I had no idea what to make of that.
I never heard of that guy until that. I didn't even know he was a coach at James Madison at the time, so who the hell knows how it works. That's the reporting out of Arkansas right now. I wanted to read a couple of quick thoughts here on the Oregon-Washington game.
By the way, more outlets are confirming it.
Okay, so that is legit. Yeah, good for that local guy getting the scoop, man. That's kind of the way the Lanning one broke. I remember it was a random Atlanta Journal-Constitution guy. I was like, I've never heard of this reporter, but he's saying Oregon's got their next head coach. And then like an hour later, everybody confirmed it. This is from a Beaver fan. I enjoyed this. I hate both these stupid teams and their stupid colors. But my upset meter for the Ducks is at zero. They're going to throttle and destroy the Huskies.
Wow. All right.
Another one. If DeMond Williams could have just not fumbled the ball inside the 10 against Wisconsin, this Saturday could have been for a playoff spot on the line for both teams. Yeah. I mean, I would just say to those, and I do this with every fan base, I think you got to play that game both ways. Like, you also very easily could have lost the Maryland game when you were down 20-0 late in the third quarter. So if you're going to go woulda, coulda, shoulda with wins, you got to go woulda, coulda, shoulda with losses. So let's play it even on each side.
This is not the week where you're going to agree with any pro UW opinion either.
No.
So let's also be fair on that.
Not going to happen. Somebody said, I was nervous about the game, so I woke up yesterday and decided to buy front row tickets to take my family to the game. Go Ducks. Ballsy move.
All right. I like that.
Front row tickets still available. Huskies giving away front row tickets. What's going on there?
I'll also say this. That's a cool little gift you're giving your family.
Yeah.
Overrated front row at football games.
It is. Not a great view.
Give me the middle.
Middle of the 100 level, you know, the lower bowl, middle of the, that's where you need to be.
I love, and you know what's funny is, I had a family member in town, went to the Minnesota-Oregon game, and he was like, he showed me pictures of where he was sitting, and I said, dude, nice seats, man. He's like, yeah, they were. I'm really appreciative of them. I like to see a little more of the field.
He wanted to be up higher.
Well, I'm with him here. Yeah. When I go to football games, I love more of the all-22. I like to see the play develop. I like to see the quarterback going deep, and I'm like, oh my God, he's got a guy. I love to see how it's all developing, whereas if you're too low,
you can't see all that stuff, man.
You can't even tell how many yards a guy gains sometimes
no,
at the right angle. You're like, is
all.
That 3 yards? And they're like, gain of six. And you're like,
okay.
All right, there
all
we
right.
go.
Nice run. Another one, DeMond Williams plays way too much hero ball to win these types of games. That's the biggest thing. I pointed that out last segment. I think he's got to learn how to develop and just take just throw it away. Don't take negative sacks. Don't turn the football. Like, Washington has to do, if he comes out and takes sacks and turns the ball over, there's no chance Washington wins this game.
I think the one thing about that, I don't disagree with the opinion. I think this is part of growth and development for him. Maybe they've had the conversation internally. I feel like when I'm watching him play and watching Washington, it is a lot of I'm scrambling to make a play instead of scrambling as the play.
Yeah.
If he commits to his legs, like he did that last year against Oregon.
He had a good game on the ground, yeah.
Right, you take the sack yardage away.
He was sacked 10 times in that game.
Right, so like if he is able to escape that, I think he's trying too much to make the play with his arm down the field. Whereas,
just go pick up 5 yards, get down, and go second and five. Yeah.
Make second and five. Yeah. Make it third and two. Like, whatever the situation is, my takeaway is I think he's been trying too much to move the ball down the field, and he's forcing the issue, whereas like I feel like he can get some positive yardage with his legs if he just commits to it.
One more thought. It was against UCLA, so take it with a big grain of salt. But last week, the Washington front seven finally started to dominate and were able to get major pressure. They lit up UCLA's quarterbacks. Finally, yeah. We got some significant negative plays. Again, not the best competition in the world, but if they can make life uncomfortable for Dante Moore this weekend, their secondary is certainly good enough to keep Oregon's offense down. That's a huge part of the game.
I think it's a fair point.
It's a huge part of the game. I'm not putting any stock in what they did against UCLA to have a bearing on the Oregon game because I think UCLA is a dead team walking. But we've seen Dante, when you can confuse him and get pressure on him, look befuddled.
Second-guess himself
great.
A little bit, yeah.
If you don't do that to him, he lights everybody up. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was out his top three wide receivers last week, and I thought outside of one throw that he tried to force into pressure or into double coverage, if you will, outside of that, he made NFL throw after NFL mm-hmm. throw after NFL throw last week. And so, yeah, if your front seven can do it, that's a challenge. If Oregon's offensive line is healthy, that's another big caveat on this game. So I would put my upset meter at a 10. I'll put it at a 6.5.
The fear's just a little there, above me.
A little bit above. It's all not right. Just that we're going to walk in and cakewalk them. I do think the start of the game is important. If Oregon jumps out on them early and Washington's got to play catch-up, then it immediately disappears and you just let's go and cruise control the rest of the game. If your offense is clunky, they hit some big plays early, then there'll be something, right? The crowd gets into the game a little bit, then there's some momentum there. Mm. I want to go to the NFL in the next segment. Let's ask this quickly on the college football weekend. What's your favorite college football rivalry?
Outside of my, I don't
outside
have
of the Cougs and the Beavs, which we know is rivalry week. It's a big week for you guys.
Those Wasquey Cougars.
You got to get those Cougars. Is it Michigan, Ohio State? You go with the easy one? Or is there one that you enjoy more than that?
No, it's that one.
It's hard to pick against that, isn't it?
Yeah. We all grew up with it. It's the first one. Usually it starts our day off. And
9 a.m.
For our age, and maybe Swag had this for his age, but like for our age, David Boston and Charles Woodson just introduced us to a world of hatred that we hadn't really quite seen or understood to that level. And the snow usually plays a factor a little bit. I think aesthetically, the red and the silver versus the navy blue and the gold, like, I think it's a perfect combination clash.
Yeah.
And yeah, the element, they haven't won in a few years now. It makes it more interesting. There's really good ones, but for me, it that's one that takes the cake.
Okay. Swag, same for you, or you got one you like better than that?
Well, the one that really got everybody's attention, it was really heated back in the day, was Miami-Florida State. In the late 90s, early 2000s. Now, they used to play that one early in the season.
I was going to say, that's the problem. It didn't get played this week.
Unfortunately, that hasn't been very relevant over the last...
No.
It also died a couple years, didn't it?
I think so, yeah. They don't play every year
anymore. A couple years that it didn't happen for whatever reason. No, nothing's been as consistent as Ohio State and Michigan. I can't
wait for that game on Saturday, man.
I can't remember a stretch of like 5 years, 5 to 7 years where that game wasn't significant for at least one of the teams.
Yeah, there's always something to play for, something on the line.
Should Ohio State, and I know they won't, should they be more punished? Like, should you slide them down? No, 10 if they lose this game. They've not played.
Well, I'm curious. Yeah, because
since week one.
What if Texas loses to A&M too? Because that's their best win on the year. And if Washington loses, they are not going to be ranked, so that won't be a ranked.
Yeah,
win.
The team I fear the most. I don't think Ohio State will slide all that much. They won't go out of the top four.
You think
I'd be
out of the top?
Shocked
if they lose to Michigan.
If they lose to Michigan, I think Michigan propels up more.
Oh my God, they
Michigan making the playoff is going to piss me off too.
I think
the resume's not that good.
Texas A&M, if they lose.
They got smoked by USC.
They got bludgeoned
by lost
USC.
To Oklahoma. They were lucky to beat Northwestern.
I know.
Like, let's not sit here and pretend as if Michigan's... They struggled at home. Yeah.
Would you want Michigan? If I gave you these choices, Michigan, Notre Dame, at Austin.
I would take Michigan in a heartbeat before I took Notre Dame.
You want Michigan.
Without a doubt. But yeah, I think A&M's the team
that if they lose to Texas,
the most.
I think the committee.
How are you making that opinion? How is Ohio State barely tumbling and A&M's first loss? They're getting way
to his point. Ohio State won the title last year.
They won the
that
title
was last year.
No,
we can't play it like that.
That's the way we play.
We got to play this year.
That's why his committee
has
stupid.
Ohio State truly been in a game in the second half where you're like. On upset alert.
No,
the way
this is my point.
Yeah,
A&M has been tested 5 times, a few of them on the road, and they've been victorious.
They were down 30-3, man.
Well, I think it was 27.
But are they just skating on thin ice.
Was 30-3.
I think it was 30.
Yeah, they were down 27 points. Yeah. You're right. But yeah, I mean, why would you punish A&M more than Ohio State?
I'm not saying I would. I think the committee will.
Stupid.
None of it makes any sense. Have fun rivalry weekend, everybody. Is your coach staying? Is he going? We'll let you know if we get any news on Oregon State. Magic Act coming up top of the hour. NFL thoughts next on The Fam.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. The firm of Harrison Marang coming up after us, but it will not be a Harrison Marang edition.
You're not going to get the payoff.
Yeah. No, we got a weak Bette Welcher here. He's claiming he lost his voice, claiming the face paint is in. A lot of excuses out of one Daniel Marang this week.
But I know.
He started last week with greeting me with this in the office, and now all of a sudden the next week it's, you know, we were just a couple of plays away, and I'm not going to be there on Wednesday.
Also, like, if you make a bet on face paint, which I believe you guys did that before the game.
We did. On Friday, he came in and said, what do you want to bet? And I said, face paint's fine with me.
This is why I'm kind of anti the company he used to deliver his package.
Yes.
You can literally drive to places and get face paint.
You can. Yeah, it's available.
There's stores that exist that you can drive to.
They do exist.
The Blazers are on the road.
Out there. One quick question here. Somebody said, are we sure if Oregon gets to the conference championship game, if Michigan beats Ohio State and Oregon wins? If you go to the big website and look at the standings, they have Oregon fourth behind Michigan because Oregon's conference loss was at home and Michigan's was on the road. I think there's follow-up tiebreakers. I'm not 100% sure.
We have it.
I'm about 98% sure.
There's seven scenarios. If Michigan beats Ohio State, Oregon's in.
Yes.
If Oregon wins.
If Oregon wins this weekend. Oregon has to win this weekend. Because you got to think the conference standings right now, they change, and then the tiebreaker scenarios change, and conference win-loss record of teams you've beaten will change, and all that kind of stuff switches up.
Yeah, so, the Big Ten sent out.
Scenario one, Ohio State, Indiana both win, they're in.
Yes.
Scenario two, Ohio State loses to Michigan, it's Indiana and Oregon. Scenario three, Oregon loses, Michigan wins, it's Indiana, Michigan. Scenario four, Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, Michigan. So that would be an Indiana loss and an Ohio State loss.
Whoa, that would be weird. Indiana's not losing
They're
to
not
Purdue.
Losing to Purdue.
Scenario six, Michigan, Ohio State rematch two weeks later.
If Oregon and Indiana lose.
And then scenario seven, Ohio State, Indiana?
Indiana somehow?
Oh, Indiana can get in even with a loss.
Oh, okay. If other teams lose.
So you need Oregon and Michigan, obviously, to lose there. Indiana would stay in.
not a lot of time here. We didn't orchestrate this very well. We did talk about the Thanksgiving slate yesterday. Let me ask you quickly before we go to the final hour.
Maybe I got some Turkey Day records I can throw at you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just looking quickly at the Sunday slate, because I think tomorrow you get a couple of really good games, and then Bengals-Ravens, we'll see. Maybe the tryptophan hits. And then I'm excited for Friday. I don't know how the game's going to go, but Bears just like, can they do it? Can they win in Philly? Can they like, I'm interested to see how that game goes, even though Philly's not very fun to watch. I give you one game on Sunday to watch. What game are you watching?
Well, selfishly, I want my team to win 9 games, but that's...
Take your team out of the equation.
Yeah, taking my team out of it. Well, there's no McCarthy.
Well, Shador is
the
most powerful black man in America, so that is true. Maybe...
Can the Niners take down
the most powerful black man in America?
Texans, Colts. If the Texans win,
that's the one for you, huh?
Oh, they're kind of hot.
They are? I know.
It may not be aesthetically
pleasing. Stroud's supposed to play this week?
No.
Oh, he's out again?
He's out again? I thought he was trending.
Well, that's two and a half games he's missed that concussion.
Yeah.
That's bad.
But no, if the Texans take down the Colts and it starts to get tight atop
it's Bill's the Steelers. Because if the Ravens handle their... No.
Is it really?
Wow. I love that you give one and I supported you and then I gave you one and you went, really?
You want to watch the Steelers play football?
You want to watch the Bills lose at Pittsburgh and see how people feel? What about Pittsburgh losing and the Ravens winning?
The point I'm trying to make is there's not a lot of right answers here. The juicy games are tomorrow. Enjoy the football tomorrow because there's not a lot of good matchups on Sunday.
You're wrong. I'm right. Really?
I'll tell you
in
the
Johnson. Was that?
Really?
Really?
Really? You want
to
watch
that was like offensive to you.
Mason Rudolph? You want to watch him play football? That doesn't matter with you.
Is Rodgers confirmed out?
I don't know. He flipped off the cameras last week. Do you see that? Walk around Chicago.
It's weird. Their offense didn't really change
at all. No. It was the same team.
Man.
Not a lot there. Where Dirt was wrong. Lots to get to in the final hour. So breaking the line at 9:30. Get your fake sponsors in. 503-864-6326. We will do that at 9:30. But we start the final hour with a Wednesday edition of the Magic Hat. It's next on The Fam.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.